He's a preacher, a sinner, and salvation. A preacher, a sinner, and salvation. Philip's the preacher. The eunuch's the sinner. And salvation's when he hears the gospel. It becomes the gospel of his salvation. Everybody's got to hear the gospel. Not a gospel, the gospel. The gospel. You know, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Some he deals with in grace, some he deals with in judgment. He dealt with Moses in grace, Pharaoh in judgment. He tendered Moses' heart, hardened Pharaoh's. Some are vessels of mercy, some are vessels of honor, some are vessels of wrath, and some are vessels of dishonor. And in this particular chapter here, we have Philip going down to Samaria. And Samaria were half-breed Jews. They had mixed with other races, and that's why they were called Samaritans. You know, the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Remember when our Lord talked to the woman at the well, and she said, "How is thou, being a Jew, speak to me, a Samaritan?" For we know that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Well, here Philip went down to preach the Samaritans. And while he is down there, God blessed him. They had the revival broke out. And here, our Lord, he had saved that Samaritan woman, but here, Simon the sorcerer, he was a Samaritan, and yet his sin was exposed, and he was told, you know, that his money was going to perish with him. His false profession was exposed. So there's times that God will save one, expose another. Make his grace known to one, make the sin known to another, and leave them in their sin. And these verses that I read to you today, no doubt you're very familiar with them, about this Ethiopian eunuch. But let's look at how salvation, that our Lord Jesus Christ and God goes after one soul. One soul. Here's one man. One man that our Lord went after. One man. And sent a preacher to preach that one man. I was talking to Brother Henry last week, and he was telling us about a time that a fella asked him to come out to Oregon to preach. And said he'd rent a building, get some people to come in. And he asked him, he said, "Well, how many would you need to be in the services before you come?" He says, "One, me and you." Fella rented a building, he went out there, and there was 8 different preachers that came. And God saved 4 or 5 of those preachers, and that preacher that opened the door, God never done, he never heard from him again. But the Lord saved 5 or 6 preachers at that meeting. But he is willing to go for one. That's the thing. You're willing to go for one. And that's what God did here. First of all, let's look at how God goes after one of his sheep. Let's look at Philip. He's the preacher. Talking about the preacher, a sinner, and salvation. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, there in verse 26, saying, "Arise and go toward the south from the way that goeth down to Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now here, beloved, we have a preacher. First thing you notice about him, God spoke to him, told him what he wanted him to do, where to go. The Lord leads his preachers where they need to be. They're not just left to go willy and nilly and go where they want to go. They're not left to themselves. They've been bought with a price. They've been called of God. Now here he was. He had been in Samaria. The Lord was using him. There's a great revival. Look back up there in verse 5 of Acts chapter 26. God was using him here. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And watch this, and there was great joy in that city. Great joy. So here he was. He had been used greatly of God in Samaria. And it says there in verse 12 here, it says, but when they believed, Philip preaching the things that concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So God was using him. Lots of people getting converted. A lot of people, they believed what he had to say about it, about the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed what he had to say. Believed the gospel. But here he is. He's being used of God. Great revival. People getting converted. People being saved by the grace of God. People being baptized. People believing the gospel. And all of a sudden, there's this great revival going on. And God comes to Philip and said, arise and go down into the desert. Go down into the desert. Leave the work here. Leave the revival here. Leave all these people that you've been preaching to. Leave these crowds that you're hearing, seeing, getting converted. You leave all these people and you head south. Huh? Go into the desert. What in the world would God send a man into the desert? You know that's where he revealed himself to Moses at, in the desert. On the backside of the desert. And oh, beloved, but listen, what could possibly be in the desert? But I want you to notice this. Philip did not question the Lord. He didn't say, Lord, there's something going on here. I need to stay here. This is what I need to do. I need to be here preaching. People getting converted here. I didn't question God. Never said anything about, well, I need to... No, he obeyed. He didn't know why he was going to the desert. He didn't know why he was going to south. But I tell you what he did know. He knew the Lord. And he knew where God led him he was supposed to go. And oh, beloved, look what it says there in verse 27. And he arose and went. He arose and went. And then look what the next word says. And behold... Behold, oh my, there's one fella. He sees one man. An Ethiopian eunuch. Of course, there was probably somebody driving his chariot. He probably had servants with him. But behold, a man of Ethiopia. That's all it says about him, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch. Don't tell us his name. Nothing like that. But oh, listen, what God does. What is the worth of a soul to our covenant God? The worth of one soul for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. And here it says, there's one man, Ethiopian, great authority, oh, treasurer. But you know, God saves individuals. You look back through the scriptures, Enoch walked with God. Abel was saved. Noah, out of that whole generation, God singled out. Abraham was the only one called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Christ went to one woman at the well. Saul of Tarsus by himself was struck down on the Damascus Road. God goes and gets individuals. And whether he saves 3,000, he still saves them individually. He don't save them all at once. Every one of them got to hear the gospel for themselves. Every one of them saved by the grace of God by themselves. And that's what, you think God doesn't care for his sheep? You think God doesn't care for one for whom Christ died? He'll put his preachers to great extreme and great expense and great sacrifice to go get one sheep for whom Christ died. And he won't even know what's going on until it's over and done with. So here's the preacher. He went down. He arose and went. And look what happens now. Here we see the sinner there in verse 27. A man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. First thing we see about this sinner, he's a powerful man. He's an important man. He's a man of great authority. No doubt great wealth. He is a treasure. He would be like our Secretary of Treasury. Except he has more authority. He has more prestige. He has more power. I mean, beloved, he dealt with like when Joseph was raised up over Egypt. I mean, beloved, he had charge over everything, and nobody got nothing from Pharaoh or his treasury or anything about it unless Joseph was the one to get it. And this is the way this fellow was. Nobody got anything from the king except through this man. Oh, and this fella, he's a great, a powerful man, an important man, a man of great authority, a treasure. And oh, beloved, you know how many great men God has humbled? There's old Naaman. Oh, Naaman. He said, oh, no, I'm not going to go down to that river. There's too many rivers over here in Samaria for me to go over to get in that river, Jordan. Well, if you're going to be clean, you're going to go get in that river. And you're going to not just get in it and wade in it up to your ankles or wade in it up to your waist, but you're going to get in it and you're going to go under that water 7 times or you're going to perish in your sin.
That's right.
And you're going to take off that general's uniform. You're going to get down off of that horse. You're going to do it in front of everybody that's subservient to you. You're going to do it in front of the privates. You're going to do it in front of the captains. You're going to do it in front of the kings. You're going to do it in front of everybody. You're going to get, oh, you're going to strip down and get in that water or you're going to perish. He said, well, I'm going to get in the water. And Hezekiah, here's the king of Israel. And God said, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die. He turned his face to the wall. God humbled him down, made him cry and plead for another day. And there's Saul of Tarsus, a hater of Jesus Christ, full of pride, full of self-righteousness, full of law, full of hatred, full of enmity against everybody that wasn't like him. And Christ humbled him and put him in the dust. Oh, the powerful men that God's brought down. And then look what this fellow had done. Here's a powerful man, but it said here that he had come to Jerusalem to worship, for to worship. You know, Israel, the men have come to Israel 3 times a year. Men were supposed to come 3 times a year for 3 feasts. And here's a fellow, and a stranger could come. You can read that over in 1 Kings. A stranger could come. He could come up to worship. When they heard about the name of God, they'd come up to worship. And here's what this fellow did. He came all the way from Ethiopia, 1,200 miles away, to go to Jerusalem to worship. You know why? It's like that Samaritan woman told our Lord Jesus Christ. And she says, they say Jerusalem is where men ought to worship. That's what she said. That's where it says, they said, Jerusalem's where everybody's supposed to go worship. And how many Americans and how many people all over the world go to Jerusalem, to that holy city, and call it the Holy Land? And I'll tell you, there's something mysterious. And they said, we're going up to Jerusalem to worship. And oh, he went up there, beloved, to go see that great temple of Solomon's. To go see them high priests in all their glorious robes. He went up there to see them sacrifices. He went up there to see the great crowds. He went up there to see all the gold and all the silver and all the things that went on. And eat all the great feasts that went on at that time. But when he got up there to worship, what did he find? What did he find? Christ had done been risen from the dead. The temple veil had done been rent in two. That showed the fallacy that there wasn't nothing behind that veil. It was empty. There was a new way to come to God. And those fellas kept on pretending, kept on playing church, kept on playing worship. And what did he find when he got up there? He found a dead, dead, empty religion. These folks up there were twice dead. They were dead in Adam and they was dead in their religion. And they was empty. And oh, when he got up there, not only to find the dead, he found those who called themselves super religious. They were Pharisees. Pharisees. What's a Pharisee like? Well, look in Matthew 23. Let's just look at what a Pharisee is like. Just look at some of the things the Lord Jesus said about them. Matthew 23. These are the super religious. Like a bunch of folks we know today. They got to be super religious. Got to be using Jesus' name all the time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord this. Praise the Lord that. Waving their hands. Got to dress a certain way. Got to do all those things and all this, stranger than that, and swallow a camel. That's what our master said. Look what he said about him here in verse 5. Our master speaking about the super religious, the Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees, he said in verse 2, sit in Moses' seat. They want to sit up there in Moses' seat. They want to tell you, sit in judgment on you. They want to tell you what you're supposed to do. But he says, but verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They don't care whether God sees them or not. They're not interested in heart worship. They're not interested in coming to God and letting God see their hearts and bowing before Him. They just do everything they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Look what it says down in verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You won't go in yourselves. And those who would go in, you don't want them. You won't let them. You say, you got to come through us. You got to come by us. Our way, our laws, our rules, our standards, our convictions. And then look what he says down in verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You'll pay tithe. You'll go out and get your mint and get 10% of that. You'll get your anise, you'll get that, you'll get your cumin, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, you don't care about judgment. Mercy, faith, you don't care about any of those things. You ought to have done these things and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, you'll strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And oh, beloved, that's what they found when he went up there. He found this kind of religion, more concerned for the jots and the tittles than the Spirit. Then he found, what did he find up there? The super religious. Then he got up there and he also found the political. You know, the Sadducees were a political group. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in angels. I don't know what in the world they could have believed in worth believing in. But they were, at that particular time, they were the ones in power. They were the high priest at that time. The Sadducees were the high priest. And here the Sadducees were more of a political party. Now you want to get a mess, you mix religion and politics, and you've got a deadly combination. Huh? And oh, here they come in this great worship and their religion and politics, and here they come, and they're up there, and everybody's waving their hands, and they're waving their, going before God and talking about their sacrifices. And our Lord Jesus Christ says one day in the last day, the great day of the feast, He stood and cried, "It is thirsty. Let him come to me." That's the last day. They'd been up there and they'd seen all the water, they'd seen all the sacrifice, seen all the worship, seen all the crowds. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, "You come here empty. You're going to leave here empty. And if you get anything at all, you're going to have to come to me to get it."
Amen.
And oh, look what, not only he come to Jerusalem to worship, and he is a powerful man, but look what it says here now back over in our text. It said he was returning, going back down to Ethiopia, and he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And you know, the scriptures then were in scrolls. They were in scrolls that opened this way. And Jews read from left to right. The Jewish Bible's written from left to right. Hebrews written from left to right. Right to left, excuse me. Right backwards to what we do. Right to left. And here they are. He's sitting here reading. And you know, a scroll is very, very expensive. And so he had bought a scroll. The scroll of Isaiah. 66 chapters. It'd be a great big scroll. And he had opened that thing up and he had got down to the 53rd chapter. And he was sitting there reading. And they read aloud. When they'd read the scriptures, they'd read aloud. And oh, beloved, and he didn't find God in Jerusalem, but he found the book of God in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. He found God's blessed book. He found some of God's precious word. And then look what it says here. And it said, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to that chariot. See that chariot? There's this fellow going there. He said, go, get up close to him. Get up close to him. Go get close to that chariot there. Go up there and get close to him. Go jump, get near to that thing. Now, here's the preacher again. Oh, what's this preacher going to do? What's he going to say? Huh? I could just hear a soul winner here. Have you accepted Jesus yet? Are you a sinner? I am. You want to go to heaven? You want to go to hell? Oh, I want to go to heaven. Well, I tell you what, if you'll just confess you're a sinner and say, I accept Jesus into my heart and pray this prayer after me, said you'll be all right and just going home. No, no. And so Philip, it says there in verse 30, Philip ran and heard and he joined and got too close to him and he began to hear him read. See, he's reading out loud, hearing him read. He's reading the prophet Isaiah and he said, you know, he's listening to my street and he says, you're reading this, but do you understand what you're reading? Oh, I wish somebody. You know, you find very few people say, I don't understand what I'm reading. I don't understand the scriptures. Every mother's son's already got his opinion about it. He's already decided what he knows about it. I tell you, I know, preacher. You don't have to tell me, preacher. But oh, somebody say, do you understand? Do you understand do you understand the book of God? Do you understand the scriptures? Do you understand what God's book says? Huh? And then look what he said here. Understand what you read? And he said, how can I? Oh, what a blessing. How can I? Except some man should guide me. I'm just reading words on a page right now. But how can I except some man guide me? People want to make little of preachers. Well, I'll tell you what. If you make little of a preacher, you're not going to get very little from God. He said here, do you understand? How can I except some man should guide me? I can't understand this book. Somebody needs to tell me what it's saying. Somebody who knows what it says. Somebody who understands it. Somebody who understands this message needs to tell me what I'm reading here. And oh, beloved, the value of the Word of God, the value of a preacher, that sin of God, there's no way in the world you can calculate what it'll be worth in eternity. I cannot tell you the worth, the value of preachers that I've known and the messages that they've preached to me over the years. How invaluable is Pastor Henry Mahan to my soul? How invaluable has his preaching been to me? How invaluable is Scott Richardson's preaching been to me? How invaluable has Maurice Montgomery's preaching been to me? How invaluable has these men's message been to me as they took the scriptures and preached to me? Huh? Oh. Boy, and this, what this is grace going before grace. Here's God got a preacher in Samaria. Here's God got one of his sheep way down here in the desert on the Gaza Road. God takes his preacher and goes down here and this fellow's sitting reading the Bible, reading Isaiah 53. And why is God, he says, grace is going before grace. Here's this guy, God's going to do something for this fellow, but he's already started working with him. He's sitting reading the scriptures. He wants some understanding. Grace going before grace. God, the Holy Ghost, preparing the soil, preparing the heart. And you know what He does? He makes him ready and willing to listen. Now, how can I? I don't know anything. I'm ignorant. Huh? He's ready and willing to listen. And then look what He said here. He desired Philip, here in verse 31. How can I accept some man should guide me? He desired Philip, come up here and sit with me. You come up here and sit with me. And you know where the two verses of Scripture he's quoting from here is Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. And the place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. He never bleated, never made a sound. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Nobody stood up for him and say, don't do this to him. And who declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the last part of verse 8 is, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And oh, beloved, and it says, now watch what he asked him here. And the eunuch asked him there in verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Who's this prophet talking about? Of himself or some other man? Oh, what a question. He knew that this prophet was talking about a man. But he's talking about a lamb. A lamb led to slaughter. A lamb led before his shears. A man taken away in humiliation. A man's judgment coming down on him. A man, beloved, who was stricken for the transgression of people. And he said, who is this man talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is he the lamb? Is he the one stricken? Is he the one in humiliation, judgment taken away? Or is it some other man he's talking about? Huh? Now I tell you, beloved, the Jews believe, and they still do, that Isaiah 53 concerns Jeremiah, or else it concerns themselves as a nation, as their humiliation will be taken away. And their judgment will be taken away. But oh, beloved, he knew it was about a man. He knew that that lamb led to slaughter was a man. But oh, man, now listen to what he says. Listen to what now Philip began to do. In verse 35. Here's the message. The preacher's got a message. And that's how you can tell if he's sent of God. What's his message? What's he going to tell you? What's he going to say? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now I'm telling you something, beloved. He started at that very place. And he began to preach unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, first thing I know he told him was, that this has already taken place. This is not something that's going to happen. This is something already happened. Christ was the Lamb of God that was slain. Christ was the one who was taken away in humiliation. Christ was the one who was judged. Christ was the one who no one declared his generation. Christ was the one who was, for the transgression of my people, was stricken. And you know, and beloved, preaching. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. Preaching is the relation between the Scriptures and Christ. If we don't get Christ out of the Scriptures, and that relation of Christ to the Scriptures, he started at that Scripture, and what did he do? He preached Christ from that. Huh? The preaching is the relationship between the Word of God and the Lamb of God. If we can't take the Word of God and show the Lamb of God, and show the Lamb of God in the Word of God, we're not preaching.
Amen.
And oh, we show the relation between the written Word, that's this, and the living Word. If you ever see Christ the living Word, you're going to see Him in the written Word first.
Amen.
And when you see Him in the written Word, you'll see He's the living Word, the one by whom you're converted. It's the relation between the record that God gave concerning His Son and showing you the Son that's on the record. Huh? And oh, beloved, when he began to preach unto him the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no doubt about it that he told about our Lord's birth. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Do you know? He said, this man that was the Lamb of God. John told about, behold the Lamb. And our Lord Jesus Christ, here is Philip talking to him. And Philip saying, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of Mary. And he was born of the Holy Ghost. And do you know he lived a sinless life? And he was despised. He was rejected. He was wounded. He was hated. He was despised. And yet he never committed any sin. He never offended anybody. He pleased God all the days of his life. He honored God all the days of his life. He exalted his Father all the days of his life. And then he talked about how that they came and brought him and put him on trial and hired people to lie about him. And then, beloved, they took him and brought him and nailed him to a cross. And he told about why he was nailed to that cross. You see, he said, see here where it says, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was stricken for a particular people. He wasn't smitten and stricken for everybody. He was smitten and stricken only for his people.
Amen.
God's people. And then he began to preach God's electing grace. He didn't turn around there and say, now listen, let me tell you, God loves you and Jesus died for you. No, he said right before him, right off the bat, the electing grace of God. Christ was stricken for the transgression of my people. Huh? Oh, he didn't kiss him on the neck, says, God loves you and I do too. No. He talked about what his death accomplished. That he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That he bore the judgment due all those sins for all those people for whom he was stricken. And that by his death he conquered sin. He conquered judgment. He conquered everything that was against God's people in his death on that cross. And was raised again from the dead to prove that he was the man sent of God. Oh my. Now, I tell you, he preached Christ unto him. And I tell you, they went no telling how long they went on. It might have been an hour, might have been 2 hours, might have been a half a day. I don't know how long it was. But I know, beloved, look what happens. Now look what happens. Oh, after he had preached Jesus Christ unto him, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Look at his confession of faith. Now, this fellow's going to confess his faith. Huh? Philip didn't ask him, are you going to believe? Philip didn't beg him to believe. Philip didn't... No. Watch. So they went on their way and they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see? Look here. There's water right here. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, he mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh my. How in the world did this faith come to him? How did this faith come to him? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word. Now you know this is what I preached last Sunday morning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how's that preacher going to preach except to be sent? So then, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Here's the preacher. Here's the message you heard of Christ. The preacher was sent, and he believed what he heard. And he believed what Philip said. He believed the gospel. He believed Christ. This is one lost sheep. This preacher was sent from where a revival was going on to preach to this one person. And here he says, here's water. Here's water. He understood that you confessed your faith in Christ by water baptism. You know, there's places in this world, down in Mexico, Catholicism is so strong down there. And I mean, it ain't nothing like Catholicism in America. It's dark, superstitious, pagan to the highest degree. And if you become what they call an evangelical down there, and you confess faith in Christ and you get baptized, that's almost like you becoming a devil to everybody in Mexico or in your community where you're at. That's the awfulest thing can happen to you. Confess faith in Christ by being baptized. You're born into the church. You're raised in the church. And your priest's got to do everything for you. And when you finally hear the gospel, and then you say, the priest or the church can't do nothing for me. Only Christ can do something for me. They think you've done lost your mind. You'd be cut off. Huh? And oh, beloved, that's why we don't have too many people confessing what understanding what baptism. I mean, it's saying I'm breaking with my past life. I'm breaking with my self-righteousness. I'm breaking with my false profession. I'm breaking with my religion. I'm breaking with my sin. I'm coming to Christ and I want to confess Him in water baptism. I want everybody in this world to know that I confess my Lord and my Savior. And He says, what hinders me? What would keep me from confessing my faith in Christ? And oh, beloved. And he said, this is the only thing you got to know. This is it. One thing. I'm not going to set you in front of the church and make you go through the catechism or anything like that. No. Philip said, if you believe, now listen to this, with all your heart, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made. And he answered, said, here's his confession. I believe that Jesus Christ, that's both his titles, Jesus, Savior, the Son of Man, Christ, the Anointed One, the One Appointed, Son of God, and the Son of God, God's Son, come into this world, God's Son, who you just preached to me, I believe that this Jesus Christ that was crucified, this Jesus Christ that was this lamb taken to the slaughter, this Jesus Christ who was stricken for the transgression of my people, I believe that's the very Son of God Himself. Oh, and watch what happens. Stop this chariot right now. Stop. And watch what happens. They went down both into the water. Went down both. Philip and the eunuch. And Philip baptized him. Philip didn't baptize himself. And didn't I tell you what? If it says they went down into the water. It didn't say they stood at the edge of the water and he threw water up on him and sprinkled it. They went down into. Down into. He was immersed. He wasn't sprinkled. He didn't get us some water and pour it over his head. They both went down into that water and he baptized him. And baptism is his confession of his relationship to Christ. And oh, listen, you reckon this fellow enjoyed his salvation after that? Look what happens in verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, they had to crawl back and they had to get up out of the water, just like when we used to go to the baptism down to the river. Everybody go in there and we're up out of the water. We come. We had to walk back out. Clothes wet. What's this? And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, said, Philip, you need to go someplace else. And the eunuch never saw him ever again. But he went on his way rejoicing. He had something to rejoice about now. He understood what God said now. He understood who Jesus Christ is. He understood what Jesus Christ did. He understood who Jesus Christ did it for. And he understood where Jesus Christ is now.
Amen.
Oh my. He enjoyed it. They never saw one another again. And that's all that goes to show you that it's the message that God uses. Oh, this keeps us from creature worship. But he went on his way rejoicing. And oh, he had heard that joyful sound. Psalm 89:15 says, they heard that joyful sound of the gospel. This day he heard the gospel of his salvation. The gospel became the gospel of his salvation. Have you ever heard the gospel of your salvation? And then look right here what happens with Philip. The preacher, here we got the preacher, we got the sinner, and we got the salvation. And Philip was found at Azazel. What did he do? Did he quit preaching then? He went back and told everybody and said, I want a soul to Jesus today. I went soul win today. I won one to Jesus. No. He continued on his way being led of the Lord. And watch what passing through he preached in every place he went. Wherever he went preaching. Till he came back to Caesarea. And then look what. This great man, this powerful man, this treasure. I tell you something, he didn't come to Christ as this powerful man. He didn't come to Christ as this great man. He didn't come to Christ as the treasurer of Candace, nor of Ethiopia. He came to Christ as a sinner in need, and he acknowledged his need. I don't understand except you guide me. Tell me who this man's talking about. I don't know anything. I'm ignorant. And he didn't come as a great man or a powerful man or a man of authority or a rich man. He came as a sinner. He confessed his ignorance. He confessed his need. He confessed his faith by his baptism. Huh? Oh boy. How can I? Except some man guide me. Well, we got all three of those things today. We got a preacher. There's some sinners. May there be some salvation. Our Father, in the gracious, blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessed, blessed truth of Christ. God bless the word to the heart, to the understanding. God save you people in this place. And if there's any here who believes in their heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I pray that you'd move upon them to confess as it seemeth good in your sight. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.